I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating 26 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open line programs. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2020 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. If whatever topic you can think of, we've probably covered it, so we have a lot of valuable data for you. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is out and available through either on our site or through Amazon. We are also offering, these are really hot topics right now, remote lunchtime workshops. We do them on stress and time management, leadership, and mentoring workshops. So take advantage of those and give us a call, because especially when people are working from home, we can accommodate that and keeps everybody involved and engaged and inspired also. Our topic today is a special edition open line, how to restart your business in 30 days. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We also have a program that you'll want to consider for your employees, especially now in this time when employees need extra love and attention. It's our wellness assistance program, and there's no monthly fee to it. It's kind of like an EAP program, but without the monthly cost. It provides the support that's needed in today's time through counseling and other remote wellness support programs. Matter of fact, one of the programs we do offer through the we call it WAP, Wellness Assistance Program, it's an exercise program where people can exercise at their desk and have education around nutrition also. So you'll find out more about that as we move forward with it. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. Our special guest is a very close friend of mine, a business colleague. He is one of the best and sharpest business individuals that I know. He is. He looks forward. He's a seer. He looks also to the rearview mirror a little bit to help prevent the mistakes, but taking those and turning those into a positive. His name is, with a big drum roll, Mark Emmer, who is the president of Optimize, Inc., a California-based management consulting firm specializing in strategic planning. Mark founded his firm in 2002 and has helped over 140 companies craft their business strategies. His second book, Momentum, How Companies Decide What to Do Next, was covered online by Yahoo Finance, Business Insider, NBC, and CBS. He has delivered over 300 keynote speeches and is a regular contributor to Forbes.com and to Inc.com. Mark, I feel so privileged to have you back on Open Line today, and also for those of you attending today, you'll want to sign up for our next program. It's on time management for working at home or in the workplace. I'll be sending information out to you shortly on that. So Mark, welcome back. The program is yours.
Thank you, Dana. Good morning, everyone. So good to have you with us. I wish it was under more favorable circumstances. During this crisis, one of the people who I've drawn inspiration from has been jazz great Wynton Marsalis. As you may have read, his father himself, a legendary musician, died about a month ago from COVID-19. The following Sunday, Wynton appeared on 60 Minutes, where he described the principles of improvisation. He said, in order to master moments of chaos, we need to be more process-oriented and more deliberate. In other words, we earn the right to improvise based on our preparation. If there's a business lesson from COVID-19, it is that to be agile, to be adaptive, to pivot very, very quickly, we must first put in the work to be disciplined, focused, and structured. I'm reminded of the time that Sully Sullenberger landed U.S. Airways 1549 in the Hudson River. Airline pilots are meticulous in their preparation because the cost of failure is just too high. At a moment of chaos, it was Sullenberger's training that guided him to spark a creative genius. The key to agility is to provide structure and then freedom within that structure for people to perform at their best. So today I will offer some practical tools that I hope that you'll all be able to take with you to drive competitive advantage in the months and years ahead. But I think what we've learned is that to prepare for these extreme market shocks will require that we run our companies differently than we did before. As Dana mentioned, for the last 18 years, I've been a strategy speaker and a strategic planning facilitator. So my job has been to help the C-suite look into the future. Now, after all, leaders need to stay one step ahead of their followers. Up till 60 days ago, most of you were staying above the fray. You lived at 20,000 feet. And for many of us, we've had this sudden and steep descent, and you were just trying not to crash the plane. My hope for today is that, you know, we think about these new realities in a way that we can return back up to 10,000 feet. Ellen, if you could advance our slide there. Under the best of circumstances, companies struggle with strategy, and I think that's because the further out we look, the more uncertain things become. Uncertainty makes us feel unsafe. When we have uncertainty, we have the stock market go down 30% in a matter of a week or two, and we end up wearing masks in grocery stores. Most companies do a great job with visioning. Many of you on the line, you're dreamers. We're great about thinking out 10 years. Many of you will say things like, I want to build a $50 million company or a $100 million company in 5 years, in almost kind of a random kind of way. And over the last few years, there's been a lot of discussion about execution, because let's face it, execution is very poor in many companies. So there are entire consulting models that are evolving around execution. But I think the part that's really kind of lacking is that there's a void in this middle. And so even if our planning horizon has been tightened as a result of the events of the last few weeks, that doesn't give us a pass for having rigor in the analysis of our markets and our competition and how we serve our customers. And I would say the crisis only heightens the importance of strategy in my mind. As a general rule, in most companies, the founder, the CEO, often is the person that had an idea and they built a company. And then we see kind of the idea of the E-myth come into play, where they get out of bed one day and they've built an enterprise and now requires a controller and an ERP and sales managers and a lot of complexity. And it's really easy to fall into a trap where you can become an operator. So the problem is that, you know, if you don't keep thinking strategically, it's likely that no one else in your management team will. Think about how we incent most of our direct reports into a CEO. If, say, for example, EBITDA is a big kicker in your incentive plan, it's more likely that they are going to manage things year to year and even quarter to quarter, and then we lose our advantage of being a smaller, nimble company. Next slide. So I'd say the biggest limitation in the formation of strategy is culture. So the circle on the left represents the competencies that are required to execute your business really well. It's about productivity and being internally focused. The circle on the right are the competencies that are required to explore, to innovate, to do things that are new. In any management team, there usually are people who live on the left and people who live on the right. And this can be the source of a lot of consternation within a management team. In fact, there are often factions that kind of gang up against each other, some that want to protect the status quo and not have much change, and others that want to innovate and do things that are new. One study suggested that only about 2% of American companies are good at doing both things at the same time. So I'm not suggesting that managing your core and innovation are just like in competition for resources. I'm saying they're in complete conflict with each other from a management point of view. So if we're going to innovate and change, it's important that the CEO maintain focus on the artistry that made them great, and also that they're delegating the day-to-day operations to some of their other senior managers. Next slide. So what I'm going to focus on today is six activities that I think management teams need to focus on in order to restart their businesses. Over the last 7 or 8 weeks, it seems that our lens and our narrative have changed almost every week. First, it was, let's get employees out of harm's way. And then a lot of management teams were thinking about furloughs. And then it was PPP loans and so on. So today I'm hoping to kind of meet you where you are and help you think about maybe the focus for the remainder of 2020, but also to make sure that we're back up to 10,000 feet. Next slide. So the first thing that I think we need to do is reorient our employees, and in particular our management teams. I am sure that over the last number of weeks, reorient your employees.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Reorient your employees?
We're in the right place. Okay, let me go forward one. Apologize.
Right. So I'm sure over the last number of weeks, many of you have changed many of your Change many of your management practices so that you're more agile. So what we're seeing is that teams are meeting much more frequently in daily huddles and scrums. Companies have adopted new collaboration software. And I think that the first thing that you need to do is think about how the changes that you've made may need to be more permanent. Another thing that we're seeing is that in the manufacturing environments, companies are organizing more in pods, and as social distancing takes place in our offices, I think we're going to see a similar evolution within the office environment where we're working more in teams that will dictate kind of the physical space. Next slide, Dana. And so what I'm getting to is we're going to be embedding more agility into our management DNA. And I think the first thing that what we should be doing is we should be asking of our teams, which of these practices are we going to learn from and deploy into the future so that we have kind of an orderly transition as people come back to work and we're making our people feel safe. Next slide. So the first suggestion that I would make that's pretty practical is I would encourage everyone in the line to hold some more formal kind of change management kind of meetings. We're in the midst of the biggest change management exercise in the history of our economy. So I implore you to formally meet with your team and ask of them what processes do we want to institutionalize? So what have we learned from working from home? What technologies will we want to implement permanently? What did we do well? What did we not do well? What do we do virtually now that we might want to keep virtual? We are reading that as many as 20% of the employees that were working in an office before may stay home permanently, and that's going to require that we probably have different roles and responsibilities, working agreements with those people for how the work gets done. So what I'm really suggesting that you do is that you have a meeting with your management team and just take time to listen. You could do similar things with your customers. We're working with some of our clients now to help them formalize some innovation sessions so they have an opportunity to think about how their customers' business might be changing in the months ahead. So what I guess I'm describing is there was a lot of change on the way down, And we're going to need to manage change on the way up with the same level of rigor and intention as we did before. Next slide, Dana. Actually, two slides. So the next thing I think we need to do is think about how we're stress testing the business. So what a lot of you have been focused on is things like the C-suite's been more involved in AP and AR. Obviously, you're doing a lot of financial modeling. But I think there's some other things that in terms of the finance function that we really need to think about. Two more slides, Dana. So, you know, if you did get a PPP loan, obviously the record keeping is going to be very important to the extent that you could actually pass an audit. You're going to need to have original receipts and so on, maybe a separate bank account. We don't even know exactly what the forgiveness rules are yet. Dana, you should be on a slide that says stress test your business. I believe it's back one or two. And I think a lot of your traditional forecasting models, you need to kind of throw them out the window. So trailing 12-month averages are not going to work very well right now. And I think that it's really important that we have a pretty rigorous budgeting methodology, and that you are not only forecasting every week, but you have something like a 6+6 budget. So what I mean by that is, say we're July, you're looking at January through June actual, and you're looking at July through December forecast, and you're bringing a level of realism to your discussions about how you might have to, you know, obviously put in some changes. I'm going to talk about contingency planning a little bit later, but I think for now, your finance and accounting professionals need to be more oriented towards having like three financial forecasts. One that is your likely, one is that is your more optimistic, and one is your more pessimistic. And as you go through your budgeting and forecasting process, hopefully you've really educated your management team on how the sausage is made, so that you can make the changes in real time that you need to make in terms of labor spend or whatever the case may be. Next slide, Dana. Now we can do the revenue bridge. So another tool that I think is really excellent, and you can use this in periods of normalcy or in a period like now, is to create a revenue bridge. So when we strategize with management teams, they always seem to like to talk about the new verticals and the new businesses and the new business that they're going to win. But what they don't spend enough time on is talking about the business or the margin that they may lose, and then what happens is they very often will come in under budget. So in a revenue bridge, it's kind of a great illustration, in this case of a $40 million company trying to become a $45 million company, of where they're going to add volume, but also where are they going to lose volume, so that you have a pretty accurate depiction of what the future might look like. Next slide. So by scenario planning, this is what I mean. You really need to think into the future in a way that you're looking outside your industry. So one of the big challenges we see in strategic planning with clients is they're always in a big hurry to talk about their company, their competition, and their customers. And they kind of skip a really important step, and that is we need to always look outside first. We look at the big threats outside the industry itself, COVID-19 being a case in point, that you know no one really planned for. And maybe it's unrealistic that any of us on the line would have planned for a pandemic. I know many of the airlines did. They had actually kind of working contingency plans in the case that were to happen. But there are things that I think are more practical that we can plan for. So one tool that I would suggest you use is go through a STEEP exercise with your management team every year. STEEP stands for Social, Technological, Economic, Ecological, and Political Trends that could impact your industry in the future. Many of these things are quite predictable because they're based on facts already in evidence today. So things like regulatory shifts in your industry, demographic trends, adoption of new technologies. These are things that we can actually wrap our hands around. And even if you can't predict the particular trend that might bend your industry in some way, what you can do is come up with two or three kind of revenue curves, right? So in this scenario on the right on the slide, say you were a retailer, it would not be that hard to come up with some assumptions, and these are some that might actually apply in the environment we're in right now, and then come up with what we think the actual revenue and or profit increase or decline might be. And you might also decide what the triggers would be by which you might actually execute some kind of contingency plan. So you could say, well, if we see scenario one and it results in a 5% decline in revenue, we will do X. Next slide, Dana. So